It's the build-up to the big event in Birmingham, the Commonwealth Games taking place, and there are lots of visually impaired athletes represented there too for the Inclusive Games. I think it's important to mention that. Now, joining me to talk more about sports, we have with us Alina McGregor, who is the Chief Exec of British Blind Sports, and David Clark, the Chief Operations Officer for RNIB. Thanks to both of you for joining us. Alina, you obviously a bit of a sports fan, considering the charity you work with and you run.
Absolutely. And I don't live very far away from Birmingham either. So it's the added excitement of that it's happening on our doorstep. It really does embrace inclusivity in a great way. And, you know, they're going to have about 4,500 athletes there competing across 19 sports, and 8 of them are para sports. So there's a real good spread there of people with disabilities, not just people with sight loss, but other disability groups, of being able to participate and showcase how great they are as athletes and representing our four nations.
And we have David with us as well. David, you know, you've represented your country on many occasions, broken many records for blind football. You must be excited for this as well.
It's really, really exciting. And it's great that the Commonwealth Games is of a size and shape, which means that they can take this inclusive approach without dumbing down the programme. And I think that's really, really positive that they've taken that choice to do it. You know, I mean, there's lots of debate around Olympics and Paralympics. And of course, they're such massive events that if they were pulled together and you maintain the same programmes, it would take about a month and a bit to run and no city in the world could host it. So, you know, you're going to see some brilliant performances. And I just think that's absolutely awesome.
I suppose it's equally important as well that from this comes, you know, a further boost to making venues, gyms and clubs more accessible as well, because it's equally important that if you have a visual impairment that you're confident going somewhere. If you want to go to the gym or you want to take up a sport, that the venues are accessible or the staff have had the correct training as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can answer that, but I know Dave can too, because we're doing great work at the moment with the RNIB on the See Sport Differently programme. And within that, it is really looking at accessibility for all in all kinds of venues, you know, not just participating in sport, being a spectator of sport so that you can enjoy it. But importantly, a big piece of that work is about supporting and developing the workforce in sport so that we give other people the confidence to be able to adapt sport to be more accessible for all.
We absolutely know that blind and partially sighted people do much less activity than the average person. The stats we pulled together between the two organisations showed that, you know, 54% of blind and partially sighted people do less than the recommended NHS minimum per week, compared with 27% for the rest of the population. So we know there's a gap there, and we know the impact it will have on mental health, physical capabilities and all of these sort of add-ons in terms of releasing of endorphins and all the things you hear about, and plus confidence and socializing and all those other things as well. But I think what something like the Commonwealth Games can do by demonstrating, not dissimilar to the Paralympics, demonstrating those sports in a very inclusive way, is that it's that encouragement. You know, as Elena said, you don't need to necessarily be looking to be the next track sensation or the next cycling sensation or even lawn bowls sensation. You know, what you're looking for is to enjoy it and socialize and get involved. And I think that's the brilliant thing. So we showcased this here in July and August 2022. And of course, that leads through to the IBSA World Games 2023, where it will be solely blind and partially sighted talent participating across around 11 sports, with some of those actually being world championships or Paralympic qualifiers. So it's going to be a very special place to be in Birmingham over the next year or so. And in terms of that inclusivity away from the field of play, I think Birmingham as a city is going to learn an awful lot about inclusive facilities and inclusive ways of encouraging people to come and take part, whether that's in the sport, in the administration, in the volunteering. And do look out, because we are going to be putting information out there about how people can volunteer with British Blind Sport and RNIB at the World Games in 2023. And I think it's a very exciting opportunity for people to get involved.
Absolutely. And Elena, you know, British Blind Sport were, you know, a major part in bringing the IBSA Games to Birmingham. You know, you've got 70 countries, thousands of athletes and, you know, all the guys that come with them. It's going to be another huge sporting event for the city.
It is. And, you know, what we have found when we were choosing the city to host the World Games is that Birmingham was so welcoming, such a diverse group of people. And you know, there's people in the city who want to support this, to want to push this forward. So we will see the Commonwealth Games as a learning for us as well, as you know, what did the city do in the Commonwealth that we can then utilise and use the following year for the World Games. And it's a perfect opportunity for an amazing city to be able to really embrace across, right across the work that they're doing in the Commonwealth and beyond into August 2023 when we've got our event.
Just on the topic of, you know, getting into sport, David, you know, you've taken it to play for your country at football, but how did you get involved? What did blind football do for you that made you want to stick at it?
Well, for me, it was a very different pathway to the one that hopefully exists today. So when I was growing up in Wigan in the northwest of England, it wasn't possible to play football for my local village or for my school, never mind my county and never mind my country. And so I played for fun, and I was very lucky to have school teachers and to be in an environment where that was possible. And so I kind of honed my skills. And fortunately, when the opportunity arose at age of 25, which was actually the first time I ever got formally coached at football, fortunately, I've done enough work to be at the right level to be able to take advantage of that coaching and go on and spend that 17-year career in football. But I think the good news is things have changed. I mean, if you look at football now, from grassroots right through to elite, there are pathways to follow. And all the way from participating locally within your club, most charter clubs will have an ability for people to join in and play inclusive football. And right through to the being paid as a professional with a contract. But I think the work we're trying to do on a wider basis is to ensure those pathways exist everywhere. And when I'm talking about a pathway, it sounds very formal, but, you know, how will I be received when I walk down to my local gym? How will I be received when I go to my local swimming pool? Because, you know, I think it's a reality that many of your listeners will know that any kind of pushback or kind of barrier, it just acts as such a deterrent to try again or to go again. And it's so important that first interaction is a really positive interaction and a very welcoming interaction, and you feel comfortable in the environment you're in. You know, if you just take a scenario, if you're swimming up and down in lanes and, you know, there's all sorts of traffic, then you're worried about swimming into somebody or that kind of thing. And then you're worried about, you know, when you get out of the pool, can you get yourself back to the changing room? So familiarity with the venue, familiarity with the rules of engagement in the pool, can you have a lane that you can swim in, those kind of things. So those kind of practical things are so, so important in building people's confidence. And similarly in the gym environment, you know, if you do pluck up the courage to go to the gym, then are you going to get help with some of the machines to make sure you can use them? Are you going to know the layout of the gym? Are you going to be assured that nothing's going to be left out, so you'll find, you know, you go on a prescribed route and you can feel confident that no one's going to leave some weights in the middle of the floor or whatever, you know? So it's those kind of things that we're trying to get into the heads of people who run these facilities, but mostly to be really, really welcoming. Because I tell you what, if you can get that welcoming environment, then we'll get people moving, we'll get people active. But if we're continuing to have barriers put up and, or you can't do this, or we're not sure you can do that, it's such a deterrent and it switches people off and they don't go again.
Elaine, I just want to mention as well about British Blind Sports Have a Go Days, because within those, you know, blind and partially sighted people get the chance to come along and try some activities, try some sports in a comfortable environment. But they also have the ability, if they like those sports, to carry on in their local area.
They do. And I think it's really important to recognise that they can be your first step into sport and physical activity. And just on that, and rounding it round back to the Commonwealth Games, you know, we all know Libby Clegg as a gold medalist runner. She's now going to be cycling at the Commonwealth Games, which is really exciting. But Libby herself says that her career started on a British Blind Sport Have a Go Day. So whilst we say, you know, we don't expect anybody or need anybody to be an elite athlete, in reality, sometimes that first step into it is actually, you know, trying something out. You don't know where it's going to take you. You know, she's not the only Paralympian that we've got that, you know, that message from in the past. And that's great to hear. And you know, we always get excited. And I'm usually screaming at the telly when anyone that I know personally has started their career at British Blind Sport. But it doesn't have to be that. It could be that you go to one of our Have a Go Days, you try out, I don't know, football, swimming, rock climbing, we do that one, tennis quite a lot, and then go, yeah, I like this. And part of our work isn't just to give you a nice day out. It's then to show you what's going on in your local area that you can continue to develop yourself at your pace and whatever level you want to achieve.
Well, let's hope the games coming up in Birmingham will be a springboard for many to take up a leisure activity or a sport. Looking forward to the games, of course, but for the moment to Elena and to David. Thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.